We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Governor, we know that public education is a key factor for Rhode Island's economy. That's a very important factor when businesses considering relocating somewhere. But Rhode Island has made only negligible progress in improving public education for many years, including during your administration. What is the main factor, in your view, holding back public education from making greater improvement?
I would say we have made progress. You know, under my leadership, now every kid can go to kindergarten full day. We've tripled the number of pre-K classrooms.
But if you look at test scores statewide, the numbers are still pretty poor.
And I agree with that, though there's more to an education than test scores. I mean, graduation rates are up significantly in some places. The curriculum is substantially improved in terms of we're doing a lot more career and technical education and getting kids right into jobs and or into college. So to answer your question, I don't think there is any one thing. I really don't. I think we need high standards, and I've stuck to that. A curriculum that is relevant, and we've done an awful lot around that. We're teaching computer science. We're the only state in the country now to teach computer science in every school K through 12. So, and you need, you know, assessments that are fair. And so the bottom line is we have to stay at it. We can't continue to, we can't chase fads of this, that, and the other. And I think we are on a good path, and we have to do more and do it faster and stay at it.
Before we go to Scott, I have a question on the Paw Sox. Paw Sox chairman Larry Lucchino says there was never a time where he was brought into a room with you, House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello, Senate President Dominic Ruggiero, and Pawtucket Mayor Don Grebbian at the same time to try and work out a deal. Was that a failure of leadership on your part to not convene such a meeting?
No. And I do remember having, you know, numerous meetings. I mean, here's the reality of what happened. We had a deal, right? My administration took the lead with the mayor, Grebbian, and we had a deal that Larry would have accepted. He has said that publicly. He told us. And the legislature dilly-dallied for more than a year, and that gave the team an opportunity to go get a better deal. At the end of the day, we can finger point all we want. This came down to money. The owners got a much, much bigger taxpayer subsidy in Worcester that I don't think it would have been responsible for us as Rhode Islanders taxpayers to meet that. It's sad. It was a sad day. You know, I was sad when they made that decision. But now I really think we need to turn the page, get behind Pawtucket, and full speed ahead on figuring out, let's commit ourselves not to let the lights go out on McCoy, whether it's a soccer team or a concert venue or another baseball team, and really continue to invest in Pawtucket and the Blackstone Valley.
What is your level of confidence in Speaker Nick Mattiello? We're seeing lately some Democrats are peeling away from his leadership, some in the House. What's your level? How do you feel about that?
You know, I've worked well with him. We don't agree on everything.
Well, now, wait a minute. The Paw Sox, you did not work well with him.
I was just about to say, we don't agree on everything. I really strongly disagreed on the Paw Sox and wish he had moved faster. I wish he had passed a law around getting concealed carry weapons out of schools. I really wish he would have put the line item veto on the ballot. I've been after that for 3 years. So I'm not saying we always agree.
Abortion rights?
But I wish he had done that as well. There, you know, there's many things that we disagree on. So let's be clear, which is, you know, pretty typical, I think, for an executive in the legislature. But we put a $1 billion school building package together. We did roadworks, the state's biggest ever infrastructure project. We've balanced 3 tough budgets together. We've cut taxes together. So on balance, I've been able to get things done with him and with the House, with the Senate as well.
Is it time for a new speaker in Rhode Island?
That's not my assessment. You know, I'm not going to get drawn into that. That's a legislative body, and they'll do what they need to do. From my perspective, we've worked well together, and we produce results. That's what I say to him all the time. You know, we have heated debates all the time, the speaker and I. And I say, that's okay. We can disagree. Let's get results. And by and large, we have.
We've heard you say you don't like needing to raise money for your campaigns, but you are a prolific fundraiser. You did spend millions of dollars during your primary campaign. Have you taken any steps as governor to lessen the influence of money in Rhode Island politics?
I have submitted, this is, I suppose, another area where the legislature and I haven't always agreed. I have submitted year after year legislation to change the way we do campaign finance. To, like, for example, what I really would like to see happen are random audits of campaign finance accounts. I think there should be audits every single year on a regular basis at random. It would keep everybody honest. I don't think you should be able to stand for an election, put your name on the ballot if you have outstanding fees. I would support something that says no fundraising during a legislative session for any of us. So I have a clear record of being on the side of tougher campaign finance laws, and I'm going to keep working on that.
What credit does President Trump and his economic policies deserve for the flourishing economy, not only here in Rhode Island where it's improving, but across the nation?
I think very little credit.
I mean, the tax cuts, look, I mean, industry is doing very, very well. And it's not just here in Rhode Island. It was getting better under Obama. I understand that. We had a long recovery. But right now, things look very, very good. And I know there's a lot of discussion about the tax cuts and also about the tariffs. But, you know, the steelworkers union, a lot of the union people are very pro-tariff. And also, you know, on the tax cuts, the same thing that they see. I think in the long run, it may just be a sugar high for the economy and create bad deficits. I understand that. But still, he deserves some credit, no credit. What amount?
So I look at it through the lens of Rhode Islanders, and I'll be have a very honest discussion. Here in Rhode Island, one of the most successful things that we've been doing is job training, the Real Jobs Rhode Island program. I started it when I became governor. We've trained 3,000 people. Last year, the federal government, under Trump's leadership, cut almost $15 million from that program, and we had to find that money in the state budget. So, and we did. So that certainly didn't help Rhode Islanders.
But wait a minute. How about the increases in defense spending with our submarines? We get an awful lot of business in this state from the defense industry. We know Jack Reed on Armed Services and Congressman Langevin push a lot of that. But nonetheless, I mean, the Trump administration has exponentially increased defense spending.
That is true. And the one thing in the tax bill, which encourages American companies to bring their cash back home, I think is a good thing. And, you know, Amgen has said that that contributed to the fact that they were able to expand here in Rhode Island. So, you know, that is definitely a good thing. But on the whole, let's look at what he's doing. Almost nothing to build up the wages of lower income folks. Almost nothing to help and support the average middle income family. I mean, everything that he's been doing is to help the wealthiest, and that doesn't help Rhode Island.
Governor Raimondo, a published report this week said that Rhode Island has lost 10% of its bioscience jobs since 2014, and that while bioscience firms in the state have attracted $43 million in venture capital since that time, just $1 million in 2017. What is the problem here?
I don't think there is a problem. In fact, I was at a ribbon cutting for a new biotech company called Rubius, which is opening a new operation here in Smithfield. We have Amgen, which is, and that's, I think, nearly 200 jobs for Rubius, plus or minus. And then Amgen has committed to add several hundred more jobs. You know, these numbers fluctuate a little bit up, a little bit down. On the whole, our economy is stronger than it's been in a long time. And we just have to seize the momentum and build on these wins, like I said, of Amgen and Rubius.
We're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Governor Gina Raimondo.
Have a great weekend.